Hello, lovely listener. I've just spent the last week or so down in London working on a couple of projects. But that gave me an idea. I had a couple of spare hours available on one day where I could meet up and record an episode of the podcast with two of my favourite car buddies. In person for a change. Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed. I'm Gareth and I'm in the same room as Zog.
Hello.
And Alex Goy.
Hi. You're in my house, which is very odd.
Well, no, Alex,
it's happened before.
It's not that odd, you know, your taste isn't that weird.
Continue, please. Before Zog arrived, we were playing with the remote control Lego Dakar car. That was fun.
Yeah, let me explain for you listening. Alex has got
Far too much Lego for a 38-year-old man.
Nothing wrong with Lego for 38-year-old man, or even 63-year-old man.
I think we're unanimous on that.
Oh, you boys haven't seen The Office yet.
Alex has got an Audi Rally Raid car from last year, which is, I love Dakar. I'm already looking forward to Dakar this year. And I've never seen a Lego model of that. And I'm driving it around the
room. Yeah, it connects via Bluetooth and you can treat it like it's mega.
I actually didn't know they made that one. Although I have been excited in the last few days to see the announcement of the Lego Nigel Mansell W14B. How good does that look? It's a little set.
My various social media feeds go, oh my God, I need this. Look at his little mustache. I'm just a bit disappointed because you guys know my feelings on Formula One, but I have a little collection of those Speed Champion cars in the office. And when I say little, you will be disgusted. All of next year's, all the works, they normally come out in March. They do a set in March, they do a set in July, I think. And all of March's ones are Formula One cars, which I guess will save me a bit of money.
Those Speed Champions sets are terrific. They're a really good balance of kind of value.
But they used to be smaller. A friend of mine was the person that kind of planted that seed with Lego and came up with the idea and designed a load of them. Uh-huh. So the smaller ones, they were supposed to be a tenner by the till.
Yeah.
So dad or mum or kid could be like, oh, go on, let's have one of those.
Dangerous.
Now they're a little bit more expensive because they're, I think, two studs wider, which means you can do more with the model and it looks a bit more realistic, but it's a bit more expensive, but they're still great.
Yeah, but the more realistic thing is good because, I think they do an amazing job with, given the size of those things, and we shouldn't bang on about this for too long because there's others, but they do an incredible job of recreating the likeness of really quite a variety of cars in a surprisingly small Lego set. Nice job, Lego.
You'll get no argument from me. I'm a massive, massive Lego fan. I didn't get the Lego in the settlement, in the split with Violet. She's got all the Lego, and we had an awful lot of Lego. I had an awful lot of fun with it. As you know, there was even a Lego F1 car on Gareth Jones of Speed. We made a video about the period when F1 cars looked terrible, where they had that awful step nose. We made a sort of a mock launch of a car. Look it up, it's in the archive. But while I'm talking about Formula One, and I know, Alex, this isn't your territory.
I'll go and make another cup of tea.
I'll go play
with a kitten.
Z, that means you and me. I'm just going to move around this side here. Like that. We have to give a small round of applause for the new world champion, four times world champion, Max Verstappen.
Yeah. Well played, well done. Great drive in Las Vegas. He absolutely deserved to be champion this year. I think it's a shame Lando didn't manage to chase it down.
Isn't it?
That's what I was hoping would happen.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. Yeah, Max won. Well done, Max. Well done, Red Bull. But we should have a really competitive year in 2025.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That whole thing about Lando not quite making it, a hope springs eternal. And we saw a resurgence in McLaren, the like of which we haven't seen for many years. Over the last, I'd say, 2.5 years, McLaren have really started putting a package together that works. But it takes more than 2.5 years to be consistently good and at the front and to be matching Red Bull, who have been the very best for very many years now, isn't it? It's a tough game, F1.
And you also have your, steps forward, steps back. I mean, McLaren have made great progress this year. But this weekend, they weren't in the mix as they have been. You know, Ferrari were quicker, Mercedes were quicker. Mercedes were much quicker. I mean, they really had a terrific weekend. So, yeah, it's a rocky road.
Yeah. Looking forward, Lando for the championship next year?
I don't know. I think you know, given how competitive Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari and McLaren have been, and given that we are expecting that to continue into next year, I don't want to call it until I actually see those cars probably at the first race weekend. I think
correct.
It's really too hard to tell.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, they will probably be close, and what the teams do during the year could make a lot more difference than their relative standings at the start of the year.
You know,
I think that's what I'm expecting, more than I'm expecting any team or driver to be, you know, dominant or a shoe-in for the championship. I'm expecting it to be competitive and to be changing through the year.
And this is all down to the way that the rules work at the moment. They're deliberately keeping the teams close together in terms of development expenditure and stuff. Well done, F1. Alex, we finished talking about filthy Formula One.
Excellent.
You can come back now.
I've taken a picture of my shopping list when I go out later, and I've fussed the cat, so I'm very happy.
You're a fluffer now, is that
I am indeed,
doing?
Yes.
Is it really? No idea what a fluffer is, but...
No.
I've knocked my mic over, right. Okay, there is something on the agenda that we have to talk about, because I can't remember a car product or brand relaunch that has caused as much consternation. Oh, you've got one in mind, have you? I can see eyes.
Weirdly, same parent company. Remember when the new Land Rover Defender came out and everybody lost their absolute shit because you can't hose the back out, put dead lamb guts in it, and it's got a screen in it. It's not a proper Defender. That, but times a million.
Okay. Well, it's the same group of people, isn't it? In case you've missed it, and you won't have, Jaguar. Is now utterly rebooted. We actually had this lined up to talk about in the last programme, but for various reasons we didn't. My question was, what the heck is happening with Jaguar? Were they not making any new cars?
Right.
Wow, that's brave. Explain.
I've written a piece about this for Driven.site, if you want to go and have a look at that. But last week I did a lot of research on it, and I asked for some opinions. But before I get to that bin fire, the brass tacks is, in 2023, Jaguar sold just over 64,000 cars globally. To put that into perspective, BMW M, so just the M cars, did more than 200,000.
Aha, right.
And if I've got they were doing quite well in maybe 2017, and they've been declining since then fairly steadily.
It was sales, so things went, things are, well, that I haven't seen that graph. So if you say that, I will take your word for it.
I did a quick check, and that's what seemed, but I figure you'll have got but a, they you, had, a lot more.
They had loads of, they had a really exciting year of product. It was 2004, 2005. When Callum kind of came in with the ALC concept, changed the design direction of Jaguar, still had that hint of heritage, but everything looked very cool. And then from that XK, we had the XF, then the F-Type, then the XE, the F-Pace, the I-Pace, the E-Pace, not exactly a hit. But these were all sort of good-looking products, but they were taking on BMW, they were taking on Mercedes, they were taking on Audi. And let's face it, JLR's sort of reliability woes are not a secret.
Yeah.
So these are products that were competitively priced. The interiors weren't necessarily as good. I mean, the F-Type was absolutely banging, but the XE drove incredibly well. But you got in it, and it was a sea of sort of horrible, scratchy plastic until they did a facelift. By then, it was too little, too late. So it was a couple of years ago now where they said, we are going to reboot Jaguar. I did read the notes of a company report that said the all-electric GT will be revealed in 2023. So they're a little bit behind schedule, tiny bit. But these things take time to get right and what have you. But the plan was concept car, reveal car, stop selling old cars, sell new car. What's happening now is concept car is going to be revealed on December the 2nd. But last week, Jaguar put out an advert, basically a, we're here, this is what we look like now, this is our new logo, lots of bright colours, some slogans, some this, some that.
A kind of rebranding teaser, if you like.
Yes.
Not showing an actual car,
no.
But sort of showing something, because they want to put something out there.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
And what's happened as a result of that is the internet has gone mental. And it's irritated so many
people. What do you mean gone mental? Yes. The internet is mental.
So, well,
we're on it.
I put out a tweet on Thursday or Wednesday saying, look, I've got opinions on this, you've got opinions on this, I'm writing a piece, let me know below. But
I saw that tweet, yeah.
I don't want to hear woke or DEI, because I already know what I should have said is, because I already know what you think. That argument's been out forever. What I got was some reasoned arguments, some people kind of almost getting the point, and then a whole lot of racism, bigotry, homophobia, a bit of transphobia thrown in, some really vile language. And loads of people going, well, what the right answer, like, if you don't want woke on there, then you don't want all opinions. So I backpedaled. On the woke thing, I said, look, I want you to tell me why it's woke, but not just say it's woke. That's lazy. It's a catch-all. And if there's anyone listening who thinks it's woke, fine. Feel free to get in touch and tell me why it's woke. Because the only answers I got were, well, you know why it is. You know, all slurs.
Let's just describe the imagery that people are getting upset about. It starts off with the way that Jaguar is written.
The logo is new. It's all lowercase bar an uppercase R.
And then there's
a G, isn't it?
G.
It's an uppercase G, but the U is uppercase as well, apparently. Right. Apparently.
Well, you can't tell the difference between uppercase and lowercase.
Yeah. And it's surrounded by imagery of young people dancing in a studio representing all quarters of contemporary society. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yep.
People are upset about that.
There's androgynous dress. There's male presenting people wearing what, you know, people would view as women's clothes. There's women wearing what you would think of as men's clothes in some cases. There's this sort of gender mix. Let me phrase that properly so I don't sound like a
gender spectrum.
I'd say I had something in my head and then you said gender spectrum.
Sorry.
But that's all right. But basically, it doesn't present as what a lot of people view as heteronormative.
Mm-hmm.
Or conventional gender roles and overly conventional presentation in terms of
appearance. And this has upset a lot of people. Now, the ad itself, it's just models dancing around a studio.
Mm.
Like, that's all it is. There are some logos and slogans in there. One of them is Copy Nothing. Now, shortly after this ad went live, an Instagram account popped up called Make Jaguar Great Again. Also, someone's made hats with Make Jaguar Great Again. except it's a funny joke until there's a discount code with a slur in it.
Oh, really?
Because, if you see someone wearing one of those hats, they just want to say
something. I heard that ironically. I didn't realise someone was actually genuine about it.
But there's also the thing of obviously, you know, as soon as you do that hat, you know, Make Jaguar Great Again. I mean, it is a slightly funny joke, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's also, as soon as I hear that somebody's done that, you know, I wonder whether the person that does that is coming at that from a MAGA perspective. Mm. You know, that is their culture.
That's what the hat manufacturers are doing. The Instagram account, they just seem like very angry people who don't like the new design direction, or don't like the new direction that the company seems to be going. But they were having a pop at the Copy Nothing tagline, saying, well, if you're saying Copy Nothing, you got this from this Jaguar campaign from the teens or something.
Mm.
But that whole campaign was based on a line that Sir William Lyons cracked out. A Jaguar is a copy of nothing. There's lots of people very angry, and some of it I can actually understand. When I put that tweet out, I had some emails from some people who we know, and from some people that we don't know, but they're basically people very protective over Jaguar. They want it to stay alive, and they want it to continued existence to be handled carefully, and they want it to be handled correctly. There are people who are worried about heritage going, but some people just want Jaguar to keep going. Other people want Jaguar to keep making the same cars so they can buy one in 15 years for 1,500 quid. And these are the people that I kind of get the least, apart from the racists and the bigots. Like, they can get in the sea. But these are the people who get, they say, well, I've had six Jaguars. They're all... So I ask, are they new? Oh, no, they've all been used. How have you then helped Jaguar? Because if you're not buying new cars, as proven, if all the people who were so passionate about the brand, who viewed the tweet I put out last week, had actually bought a Jag, Jag sales figures at current rate would have quadrupled.
Mm. There is the rub.
Well, whatever Jaguar has been doing in the last few years is not working. There is no future in, you know, the direction they have been going in. So clearly they have to change. And as you say, you know, we around this table, we have enormous affection for Jaguar.
Yeah.
Now, certainly a lot of that affection is based on a heritage that is that goes quite a long way back. Now, that's not a bad thing. Heritage is a good thing for a car company to build on. But, yeah, Jaguar is in this, it seems to me, is in a very odd position at the moment. And you've added a bit more detail to this in talking about how their plans for rolling out new products have been delayed.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, they may be doing this stuff in the advertising teaser realm that they would ideally be doing later. But there is they're putting out an advert with, you know, with no product to talk about. And so we have to talk about the advert. We have to talk about what they're doing, what they're
doing.
So
what's happened? So they put the ad out and then they've started releasing teaser pictures of the concept car. So the concept car will be revealed on the 2nd of December at the Art Basel show in Miami, which is three very strange words all mashed together. Art Basel, right, huge art show.
Yeah.
You think Switzerland. No, it's in Miami.
Yeah.
Right, and there's going to be a car unveil there. Excellent.
And there's all sorts of... Yeah, I mean, this Art Basel thing, it's sort of, you know, been on my cultural radar for a while, and I have no idea what it is. He said that obviously, I assume it has something to do with art, but everything that I read about Art Basel, hear about it, it's always something that's non-art related. That's to do with watches happening.
They did
there,
a car specific car one a few years ago.
Some other cultural stuff that's happening at Art Basel.
They did a car specific one a few years ago. I went out and covered it for someone, Lord knows who. And it was really cool, but it was all these cars are beautifully lit in their own sort of boxes, and you could get right up close to them, and there were talks, and no one went, so they didn't do a second one.
No. But yeah, but they, you know, they're releasing this, you know, frankly baffling, and I think it is a slightly baffling hour because it doesn't seem to connect to, you know,
the Jaguar
the
we
Jaguar,
know.
Exactly, it doesn't connect to the Jaguar we know. The logo is all new. It's all new and different and unconnected to what we know of Jaguar.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing else to kind of anchor it to. Now,
having a talk about the brand
can be a good thing. You know, I think we're, you know, this may look very different when the concept has been unveiled. We don't know. We haven't seen that concept car yet.
I'm surprisingly completely with it. I, like you, love Jaguar. I'm the same age as the E-Type. It was released the year I was born, I think.
Right.
So like many British car aficionados, I have a relationship with Jaguar. I've driven a number of Jaguars. I've never owned one. I've never bought a new one. And there's the problem, right? People aren't buying new Jaguars. So the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And that clearly hasn't worked.
Jag's reached the point where it needs to innovate or die.
Yeah.
And if it dies because of its innovation, it's had a stay of execution and that's fine.
Yeah.
But at least they've given it a crack. I mean, to leap back to some of the points, James May jumped in on that thread, which I was very surprised by. And he went, not everything can be an E-Type. They need to get rid of this thing because the E-Type is not a new car. Why should everything hang on that car or the Mark II? Like, and some of the press coverage, the Daily Mail was like, look at Inspector Morse and his Jaguar. Mm. That show hasn't been on the television for 24 years.
But there's your problem.
And it was a classic car when it appeared on the TV show.
Correct. No, and if that's your problem, if that's your pinnacle, your apotheosis of Jaguar, that was at least 40 years ago, right?
Well, the E-Type's been out of production for 49 years. Someone popped up and said, why don't they make a new E-Type? Why don't they do this and price it at 40 grand? It's like, it needs ABS, it needs safety systems, and no, they can't do that. Otherwise, they would have been.
But they are making, are they not, you know, a small number of actual of remade E-Types.
Yes, but they're a quarter of a million pounds.
Oh, but my point was that they are in a very real way making cars that stay true to the Jaguar tradition and embrace all of the stuff that, you know, all of the old fogies like, you know, all aging petrol heads love. Yeah, by making continuation C-types, D-types, E-types. As you say, they are crazy expensive.
They're very silly
money. But that's a side hustle to their major business, isn't it?
That's what's left of that sort of heritage. That's what's left of big internal combustion engine cars. It's toys for rich people.
It's the why don't they make another E-type? Why don't they make a Halo sports car? And only really Porsche and Ferrari makes proper money on those.
Mm.
But, you know, Porsche's margins are insane, but the majority of Porsche's business is cars that aren't 911s.
Yeah.
Ferrari's business is... So Jaguar seems to be going the Ferrari business model, which is low volume, high margin. So if they sell, like, 10 of these, they'll make a stack of money, or at least I think that's the plan, because it's going to be 100,000 plus, maybe 125 plus, I think. I haven't seen the figure, I haven't seen the car. couldn't go to the briefing because I was on something else, but if I was at the briefing, I wouldn't be able to talk about it now, because I've spoken to people who were at the briefing and they can't say anything.
There is a photo of a, they call it the Jaguar GT, this is their new EV that is going to emerge in the next 2 years, of a heavily disguised car with an incredibly long bonnet. Now, that's very Jaguar.
It's very Jaguar. It's very XK120. Very XK120.
Very XJS, very E-Type, very XJ, you know, long bonnets. That's one of the things that defines a car that has a V12 or a straight six or whatever, a V8, whatever they put in Jaguars. It's unusual to see it with an electric car. I'm curious to see how this plays out.
It's
how
do you
get the weight distribution? Yeah.
There's batteries right at the front. Frunk in the middle, people further back in the middle, and then most at the back. It's going to be a fascinating thing to see, because having read all the things, you know, I did, for my sins, read some of the Daily Mail's coverage, because the man from the Mail replied to my tweet saying, well, here's one I wrote earlier, and it was a straight-up news story. It was interesting. I quite like an opinion. Hmm. Jaguar knows it's going to piss some people off, and other people are going to love it. They know that something is going to come of this, because obviously you've got so much heritage that people are so embroiled in and care so much about. We haven't seen the car. The car might look like an XK120, or it might look like, I don't know, a Mark 7. But I would like to highlight the Daily Mail for being arseholes.
You don't have to, we already know.
Well, so one of the things that was dredged up during the furore was their head of brand, who did a brand or brand strategy, I forget, an out married gay man, who delivered a speech at the Attitude Awards about how, you know, Jaguar Land Rover or his team at Jaguar, they are inclusive, they've got different DEI groups, they've got different support networks for people who need it, and there's a safe space for everybody at the company. And if you read the piece, and I really advise you don't, it reads like a hit piece. This gay man made Jaguar woke. That's the inference I took from it. And
it's his fault and people like him that
our
beloved brand has
how
been destroyed.
Dare the successful married man who has a nice lifestyle do his job. And it was genuinely sickening. It made me really upset. Not because for any reason other than like the dude is doing a job and he should exist. And it's genuinely shameful the way they pitched it, because it was just pitched to make angry middle-class white men go, well, he's not like me. How dare he take a thing away? I'm going to drive my used Jaguar home.
That is the opposite of diversity. He's not like me, so I'm threatened. Right, we've lived in London our entire adult lives as guys, right? You know, we were living in one of the most progressive, well, the most progressive parts of the UK, arguably one of the most progressive parts of the planet. And
we are in the district that voted overwhelmingly more than anyone else compared to population to remain.
Smart people. And so we are exposed to a great diversity in the way people appear and operate, right, on a daily basis. It's not weird to us. It's not strange. It's kind of, okay, that's good. I've met these people. These people are our people. They're us, right? It's no different. A vast majority, I would imagine, of the people who've reacted negatively to this are reacting to fear. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Something that you don't have a personal contact with, you don't have an understanding of, and it's threatening because you don't understand it. They just need wider experience. These are people of different, I wouldn't say limited, these are people of different experiences we have here. And guys, we're all learning, right? Maybe some of these people will think, it's not such a big deal, when they get to the car.
Well, yeah, the car's the star. So the concept, or is it the cat? Is the cat?
No, it's my headphones.
The cat is still very young. She is an idiot, so you could just blame it on her. So the car's coming out for when this comes out, I guess, next week. And
Later this week. Yeah.
The second? That's next?
This Thursday, whatever the date is. Today is, by the way, Monday.
Today is Monday. So it's coming out on December 2nd, anyway.
This show goes up
next
later this
Monday?
Week.
Yeah, next Monday.
Hey, soon come, anyway, right?
Soon come. Car soon comes.
The
car is coming, we will see it. They've been releasing teasers of various things. It will, according to Jaguar, look unlike any other Jaguar that has ever Jaguared ever, because Jaguar. There are going to be people who are cross because they can't afford one, they don't want an EV, they don't want this. Who are the people saying, well, why are they advertising to Gen Z? They haven't got any money, they haven't got any of this, like, why would they want it? It's like, well, you clearly didn't want the stuff that already existed.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
So,
100%.
why not try something else? You clearly don't want this.
I remember a conversation with Richard on this show when the XJ came out, mid-2000s, the one that we took to Le Mans a couple of times, I think. Didn't we go to Jack twice to Le Mans? And Richard said, yeah, I kind of like the front end of the big old familiar Jag grille, like it's from the 60s, but I really like the back end and the fact that the interior is all kind of modern and not old Jag and walnut. And Richard, who knows about these things, always said Jaguar has always stood for innovation and progression and change. They've always...
Disc brakes.
In the 60s.
Yes, exactly.
We can't... The
glory days are behind
all them. All these amazing Le Mans victories, all these amazing innovations they've made is great, but you can't keep going. As media-y types, you're only as good as your last piece of work. Exactly. And let's face it, Jaguar's last piece of work was the E-Pace.
And I would come back to this, you know, this furore, this, you know, absurd fuss about this advert, you know, this may all be, you know, to a lot of people, Jaguar looks ridiculous right now. I'm inclined to cut them some slack. You know, in a couple of weeks, it may look like genius.
Yeah.
Or at least it will have been, you know, the... So much of this fuss will be forgotten because there will be something more concrete to focus on, something more definite in terms of a product and a thing to look forward to, rather than this vague signalling of, well, clearly something new is happening here, but we're not actually going to show you a car. And like you say, Gareth, you know, that fear thing, you know, fear of change, you know, that's behind a lot of the
people don't like change, any change.
But it's the fear of change that leads some people to just outright bigotry. That's the bit that really shocked me.
They're just frightened, very unpleasant, lots of
people felt that this gave them an outlet to be really foul about other human beings.
Fancy being frightened about an advert and a logo,
because I guess for Jaguar, for British Jag fans, it's always been part of the fabric of life. Like, you did all right. You would either go for, you know, you get a little sports car, you'd maybe get a Jag at some point. Yeah. You could always see. It was an attainable thing. And now that's been taken away. I mean, I likened it in the piece. It's like seeing your ex has left you and you see her with an amazing glow up and she has no interest in you. That's going to sting, right?
That's going to sting.
But also we have to think about Jag's image elsewhere in the world. America thought it was a bit fusty and a bit weird. You don't see many on the continent. You don't see many of them around because for us, it's this sainted thing. But the Brits are very protective. Whereas, I say, speaking to Americans, they don't really care about Jaguar. They don't sell many over there. You don't see many because you can get a Beamer, you can get an Audi, you can get whatever. Or you can get a Range Rover, which has more status but same reliability.
Yeah.
I will add this. In 2019, I went to the LA Motor Show and interviewed Domagoj Dukek, who was the former head of exterior design for BMW. You may know some of his work because we have passed comment on it before.
Uh-huh.
He's the man behind, or was one of the team behind, the big grille on the M3.
Yeah.
The era of, oh dear, this is a bit...
The new crazy grille.
This is a bit chunky, graphic.
So depending on what happens next week, some of this might be pressing, it might all be nonsense. I asked him about hallmarks, you know, the Hofmeister kink and the kidney grille. So you've got all these hallmarks, but if you have to use them all the time, you are stuck with them.
Mm.
So you can use them, and you should use them, but not all of them over and over again, because otherwise the car will just look like that forever and there's no evolution, which leads to the problem that they had. So they'd release a new 5 Series, and if the 5 Series looked too much like the old one, they'd go, oh, BMW's not doing anything new, they're stuck in the past, they're boring, they're rubbish, like, why are they doing this? Then he releases something wildly different, and they go, well, the old one was so much better, how come they've changed so much? This is awful, this is the worst thing. He says, wait a year, and then you'll see what the reaction is and see how it goes down, which is kind of how he lived his life. And honestly, I said, what do you think about all the uproar? And he's like, I really don't care. Which I hope is what Jaguar is thinking right now. It's like, we've had the uproar. Wait a year. A year, see what happens. This time next year, hopefully, unless there's delays, and I really hope for Jaguar's sake there aren't any delays, there should be a moving car kicking round.
Well, let's watch this space.
But here's the flip side to this, guys. We've just spent 30 minutes, more or less, talking intensely about Jaguar.
Mm.
was it Malcolm McLaren used to say, you know, chaos is a ladder, or was that someone in Game of Thrones? But, you know, you create a bit of a disturbance. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
No. Right?
The fact that everyone is suddenly thinking about Jaguar again is great job done. Yeah. Right, ha, ha, ha. Maybe we'll make some changes and they'll placate these people. Maybe we won't, and then it'll annoy them and they'll still be with us. You know, it's almost a no-lose scenario for Jaguar. I hope the car's good. I hope they've got the tech. I know that the late Ratan Tata has put together an organisation that has access to the kind of tech that they do for EVs in China now and elsewhere. And if they can do that, that's what they've got to do. You've got to beat the Chinese at the game.
Mm. Well, they're not trying to, because they're launching a massive luxury product, whereas China's sort of flooding the market with cheaper stuff.
Yeah. That's Alex's cleaner arriving. It's not.
No.
Oh, right. Sorry. All right.
All sorted.
Good, thank you. The other thing I think about this relaunch is, I think the logo, the new Jaguar logo, is okay. It's a bit familiar in some ways, and I don't mean familiar to Jaguar, but it's the kind of thing you'd expect of this age now. Mm. I don't know how well it's going to date. You can equate that to like BYD or even Lancia. Have you seen the way that they write Lancia on the back of the new Lancias coming now? It's all very sort of clean, horizontal, of its age.
As is the style of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the old one didn't work. This new one works. But my favourite thing about this is because this strange typeface font thing that they do, where the G in Jaguar is now uppercase, as is the U, if you glance at it, it now reads Jaguar. Jaguar.
Which the American pronunciation.
Exactly. Jaguar. And there are far more people aware of Jaguars in the world than Jaguars.
There's also far more people in America than there are in England.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. That's the point. So it might actually speak to their version of Jaguar. And, oh, the new Jaguar. You know, that's fine. It's not a bad thing.
No, I'm very hopeful. I'm saddened by the awfulness that it... I'm genuinely staggered.
Because I do
my level best to think that people are, on the whole, good. Everyone wants to do the best by each other.
We know where you're wrong there.
To quote Scrubs, they are bastard-coated bastards with bastard fillings. And that's kind of shown, like what happened last week, kind of showed me just how awful things are and how possessive people can be over something they have absolutely no control of. There's that line from wherever it is, like, your future is often decided by meetings that you aren't at.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened to generations of petrol heads and generations of British sports car fans. And all they can go is, but the E-Type, and those days are gone. Like, smoking's bad for you now. You can't buy a pint for 50p. Mm. We've cured diseases that were around when the E-Type was kicking around.
Mm-hmm. It's a different universe, isn't it?
Like, yeah. The world has moved on, and it's very sad that Jaguar isn't making that stuff anymore, but there is absolutely no reason to be a cunt about it.
Well, if Jaguar... Let's give them a chance, right? If Jaguar can rebuild their reputation, because it's probably a very subtle brand recognition thing that stops people from buying Jaguars and they go to Audis and BMWs and Mercedes, right? It's like, well, that has the prestige Jaguar. Well, it's a bit fussy, isn't it? You know, if they can reboot and this car sells well enough for them to roll out this technology in a wider range of Jaguars, then we've got Jaguar back. Because at the moment, Jaguar is on life support, you might say.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, if it reinvents the brand and if it means we've got a Jaguar still, here's a question for you. I posit this to you, champs. Would you rather every time you saw a Jaguar was a special occasion, or would you rather go, oh, it's an E-Pace?
I honestly think I'd rather prefer a special occasion.
You know, that's what this is going to be. This is a big electric thing that's going to be, hopefully, perhaps, be like seeing an E-Type. You never see them because they've rotted or fallen apart, or they're in museums because you can't pick them up for 15 quid anymore. But hopefully that's what it'll be. I mean, they're going, they're very openly going after Bentley's lunch, after Rolls-Royce and these kind of hyper-British luxury brands.
Well, and to position themselves, you know, to consciously go for a more upmarket segment rather than to do, you know, something that's closer to a mass market product. Mm. Jaguar is never going to produce a mass market product, you know, sure, you know, we, clearly. But they could do something that's more in the middle, you know, that, that's aimed for higher sales volume. Yeah. I think given the way that the industry is going and that people's driving habits are going, it's better for them to focus on trying to sell fewer cars to fewer individual yeah. customers, I think.
Mm. You're right. The industry is evolving, isn't it? One last thought, right? We've got 2 minutes just to wrap this up quickly. There's a lot of consternation at JLR at the moment, Jaguar Land Rover. What I don't quite follow is the way that Defender's a brand, Range Rover's a brand, Discovery's a brand.
And now Jaguar.
As Jaguar's a brand. But the Land Rover badge will appear as a trust mark on some of these cars, but which is it on the Range Rover?
Yeah, so what's happening is it's becoming a house of brands. Think of it like, LMVH, which has all of the Louis Vuittons and all this and all that, like all of those high fashion brands.
This is something I know all about, really. So, I'm learning stuff from it.
So each one of their sub brands is positioned as a different bit of the market. So there'll be something for the ultra wealthy, which you and I would either look bulk at because it's expensive or ugly, but it fits that lifestyle perfectly. And there'll be one that's more high street that we would all get on with quite neatly. And there'll be something positioned a little higher, so slightly more aspirational and whatever. Mm. So the idea of a house of brands is each one of these things will do a job very differently. So a Range Rover will be ultra lux SUV, Defender will be sort of more explorey, a Disco will probably be more workaday or whichever way around they put it, and the Jaguar is going to be hardcore British luxury EV, I guess. But each one of them will have their own job. So if you say start off in Discovery and go, well, I really want, you know, one day I'll get me a Defender, and then, oh, well, you know, the Range Rover's for the posh knobs, that's not really for me, or the Jaguar's for the posh knobs. But you know, there'll be something somewhere within the brand structure that you should want. So there'll be the JLR sort of mark of trust going, this is ours, we made that. And then each will have their own branding and their own thing. I mean, they've started doing it with Defender. So Defender sponsored the rugby last year, and it was just Defender. It wasn't the Land Rover, it was Defender.
Interesting.
And they were used to ferry people around and all that. So it's started, it's happening. JLR's been very open about that, very open, very honest about what they do and how they do it.
Well, we wish them well. We do, because, you know, we care about Jaguar Land Rover, we care about all cars, and we can't wait to see what the next product is, right? It's about the exciting next thing. On to the next thing.
December the 2nd, you can't come soon enough, and maybe the bigots will go away.
Put us out of our misery, please.
You know, that's just going to carry on, and it's going to carry on. You've been listening to Gareth Jones on Speed with Zog.
Goodbye.
And Alex in Alex's front room.
Bye.
And I was Gareth. See you in a fortnight for more on Speeding.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whizbang.
Alex, thank you for having me.
That's right.